the Ben Barrick Show on News Radio 1400, KTEM. On the phone right now is Jonathan Shanzer, Director of Policy at the Jewish Policy Center, Hamas versus Fatah, The Struggle for Palestine is his book. And please join me in welcoming Jonathan. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. How are you?
Outstanding. Did I pronounce your name right?
You did.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, so in writing this book, you decided to focus on the period between 1987 and 2007. Why did you find that particular time frame so important?
Well, it all began with the Palestinian uprising of December 1987, the Intifada, as it was called. This was the first outbreak of violence against Israel. And it also happened to be the moment in time in which the Palestinians really began to unravel. The Palestinian national identity, as we might call it, began to show its true colors. The cracks in the facade began to show. In other words, what we've seen over time, and I describe this in the book, is that every time the Palestinians have launched a round of violence against Israel, they end up hurting themselves. They end up devolving into their own brand of internecine violence that essentially tears them apart from within. And we've gotten to a place over the last 20, 30 years where the Palestinians are in all-out war with one another while Israel is doing just fine. So in other words, their violence against Israel has essentially backfired over the last several decades. And I think that this is a story that has gone drastically underreported in the mainstream media.
Okay, so you're actually optimistic at things like Hamas getting elected into power and Fatah and the Palestinian Authority actually losing ground with them. Is that correct?
Well, I don't want to say optimistic. I mean, if you look at the Palestinian narrative, I mean, it is one of absolute tragedy. This is a people that is very well educated and has an idea of what democracy is. Has a lot of exposure to Western governments and Western cultures, and yet continues to destroy themselves from within. And, to a certain extent, if you're going to look at it as a zero-sum game between Israel and the Palestinians, yes, you might say that, that some of these developments are not terrible for Israel's long-term survival. But in the long run, I don't think it does anybody any good. We continue to see unrest inside the Palestinian territories, and again, it is a tragic story.
Yeah. Now, Hamas named itself after somebody named Izz al-Din al-Qassam. What can we learn about that organization based on that choice?
Well, Izz al-Din al-Qassam was a fighter against the British in the 1920s and 1930s. He was actually Syrian. He wasn't even Palestinian. But he was one of the first Palestinian terrorists. He led a small brigade around what was then the mandate of Palestine, the British mandate of Palestine, trying to pick off Israeli citizens or then Jewish citizens and British military personnel. And so when Hamas decided in the late 1980s to name the arm of its military wing after this individual, it was really trying to demonstrate that that the Palestinian struggle is a decades-old one and that violence is really the only way. And this has been a problem for the Palestinians in general. I would say that even the more moderate faction, the one that we work with here in the United States, the one that our State Department has better ties with, the Fatah organization, this is also an organization, and this is not known by most Americans, that in its charter openly calls for the destruction of the State of Israel. Everybody knows that Hamas does that in terms of the suicide bombings and its own charter and everything else, but Fatah also calls for the destruction of the State of Israel. And one of the things that I try to hammer home in the book is that there really is no good choice for the Israelis and for the American government in terms of finding a Palestinian interlocutor. There is no Palestinian faction right now with any significant amount of power that is moderate, that seeks to live peacefully with Israel side by side. And this is going to be a problem moving forward, both for the Obama administration, which is calling for a peace agreement between the Israelis and Palestinians by the end of the year 2010. And it's going to be a problem for Israelis who are looking for peace and quiet in their neighborhood, and they've been, yet to find that for 60-plus years.
So is your contention that the United States is making a big mistake by kind of, riding the Fatah horse, hoping that they can kind of squash Hamas a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the crux of the book. And I don't always say it explicitly, but it is implied throughout the entire book. let me put it this way. You know, what I always tell people is if they walk away with nothing else, they should walk away with the following. If Israel decided under American pressure tomorrow to hand over the entire West Bank, to pull up all of its settlements, to remove all the strictures around the West Bank and even the Gaza Strip, to hand over every Muslim holy site that the Palestinians have been demanding, and to also allow, let's say, 50,000 or even 100,000 Palestinians claiming to be refugees from the 1948 or 1967 wars. If all of those things were decided tomorrow and the Israelis decided, you know what, let's just give these to the Palestinians, there would be nobody on the Palestinian side to be able to ratify that agreement because the Palestinians have been in all-out war with one another since the year 2007. And to rely on Fatah right now, when it only controls the West Bank but doesn't control the Gaza Strip, when it only controls half of the Palestinian people, and it's not even elected government anymore. You have to remember that Hamas won a popular election, a free and fair election, in January of 2006, and that has not been overturned. In other words, you put all these things together, and it is impossible for the United States to expect a legitimate peace agreement to emerge. So when Obama continues to call for peace, I believe he is wildly off track and is really not looking at facts on the ground. And I should just say that I say this with no amount of glee. I mean, this is not a happy situation for anybody, but I think it's incredibly important if we want to see a lasting peace in the region, we need a president who understands the facts on the ground. And the facts are that the Palestinians are in a state of civil war and that this is not a good time to move forward with a peace agreement.
We're talking with Jonathan Shanzer, author of Hamas versus Fatah, The Struggle for Palestine. I also noticed that Daniel Pipes wrote the foreword for that book. You outlined the three strategies, basically, that Israel has chosen to use over the years to kind of deal with this situation. You say two of them worked, one of them didn't. The two that worked, in my mind, were offensive and protectionist, and the one that didn't was defensive, retreat. Gaza was the one that didn't work, according to you, pulling out of Gaza, but building the wall and also targeting Hamas leaders for assassination both work. Can you talk about those dynamics and why some worked and some didn't?
Sure. You know, I mean, I think it's really classic military strategy. I mean, when you start to go on defense, it doesn't necessarily work for you. You know, and nor does it work when you simply try to placate your enemy, which Israel has also done numerous times in the past, where Israel says, okay, well, let's just hand over the Gaza Strip and hope that, that the people there begin to appreciate the state of Israel. Well, you know, if you have a military foe that continues to attack you and you decide to provide, at least some of the things that they're looking for, that's what we call appeasement. And the Israelis have failed, at a few junctures along the way in terms of appeasing the Palestinians. But in recent years, I would say that the strategy has been a better one, and that has been taking out Hamas leaders. And they've done so, I think, very effectively. They took out Ahmed Yassin, who was the founder. They took out a number of Yassin's lieutenants. And this has essentially put the Hamas organization off balance. And up until 2006, let's say, I would say that Hamas was really an organization that was struggling to find its own identity. They did very well in the elections because they were running against the Fatah faction, which is hated inside the Palestinian Authority and seen as corrupt and as having wasted tens of millions of dollars in international community donations. So, I would say that that's probably the reason why they won, not so much because they were leading the Palestinians in any one direction. And then in terms of the fence has done exceedingly well for the Israelis. Since the fence was built, or to the point where it is now, there has only been one suicide bombing that has taken place inside Israel, and that was, I believe, in the year 2007 in the town of Dimona. And what's notable about this is that for years before that, you know, notably from the launch of the second intifada, the round of violence that the Palestinians launched in 2000 through about 2003, there were dozens of suicide bombings. Once that fence was put up and the Palestinians were not able to enter Israeli territory, the suicide bombings dropped precipitously, and this has been a good thing for the Israelis. It has enabled them to grow their economy. Even amidst a global economic meltdown, the Israelis have actually done relatively well compared to the rest of the world, and part of that has to do with the fact that people continue to visit. Tourism is a huge part of the Israeli economy, and when there are no suicide bombers, people come to visit Israel. And so that's been a good thing for them as well.
The Six-Day War of 1967 was a huge turning point, and I think everybody would admit that. Is it your contention that, Israel prior to that was primarily fighting the more secular pan-Arabism, but since then has been fighting the more Islamist element? And did that war give birth to a larger religious war, and should the civilized world admit that openly?
Well, yeah, you touch on a very important point here. I mean, with the death of pan-Arabism, the Arab world largely followed the Egyptian president, Gamal Abdel Nasser, until the crushing defeat of the Arab forces in 1967. As most people know, this was a miraculous victory for the Israeli military. In just 6 days, the Israelis defeated all of the surrounding military armies, crushed all of their air forces, and essentially conquered territory that nobody thought that Israel would ever maintain control of. And what happened is, after that, because pan-Arabism was seen as a bankrupt ideology, the Arab world began to do some soul-searching and began to seek solace in Islam. And this did give rise to the ideology of Islamic fundamentalism. And, this is no longer, in my opinion, merely a matter of contested territory, which I think was really the crux of the conflict up until 1967, from 1948 until the Six-Day War. After that, it really became something along the lines of, Israel's existence in the Muslim world is illegitimate, and Israel needs to be defeated in order to create a global caliphate. And this is essentially what Hamas believes and what a number of other Islamist organizations, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, etc., they all view the conflict in the same way. But I should also say that the 1967 war was also significant in that it marked a turning point also in terms of the way that Israel was viewed. Israel was always viewed as this sort of David versus the Goliath of the Arab world. It was only, 5 million people against, hundreds of millions of angry Arabs who sought to destroy the country. After Israel was able to demonstrate its prowess on the battlefield and was able to conquer the West Bank and was able to conquer the Sinai Peninsula, the narrative began to change, and Israel began to be seen as this powerhouse. And they began to be seen as the Goliath. And this has been part of the problem for Israel's how it's portrayed in the media right now. So this has become a problem for Israel in that sense only. I think getting back to your point, though, the idea that we are engaged in a religious conflict has now spread to the United States, as we saw on 9/11 and with other attacks around the world against the West. The Muslim world increasingly sees a conflict now between Islam and the Western world.
Jonathan Shanzer, author of Hamas versus Fatah, The Struggle for Palestine, and I'm assuming they can pick up this book on Amazon.
They sure can.
Awesome. Well, Jonathan, thanks for taking the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, you have a good one.